Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your glorious word, oh Father, that just comes alive, oh Lord, every time we open it and read it and begin to see those wonderful treasures, Lord, just unfold before our eyes. We thank you, Father, for this day that you brought us here together. A beautiful day it is, Lord, but every day that you do for us, Lord, it's a miracle all in itself, and it's beautiful. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us together here, Lord, just to listen to your word, Father, so that we can all come together in unity, Lord, so that we can all come together and have our faith grow, Lord, and our faith placed in you. Lead us, have your spirit lead us today through today's message, Lord. May every word that proceeds from my lip may always bring you all the honor and all the glory, because all this I ask in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So today's message, the name of this message is Unity of Faith, such as it said in Ephesians 14, until we all reach the unity of faith, meaning that we're not all there yet, right? And because we are taking this year as really beginning to study and beginning to look at the Word of God and what the Word of God is telling us about growing those roots of unity, because unity is, it's an important concept. It's something that we all, I mean, we see it everywhere and every day of our lives. We all know that when something is united, whether it be, you know, people or whether it be objects, it becomes much stronger, right? A united front is much stronger. When an army is united, when a team is united in their effort to win, in their effort to conquer whatever they have set their goal in, we know that it's going to be a very force to conquer, right? So it's going to be the unity is something that we all need to strive for. And in the church, we all need to strive for that as well. Now, it's kind of, I've always said that the gathering of all the brothers and sisters is a miracle all in itself. I mean, the fact that we're in this room, it doesn't really mean that we are united. It means we're all in the same room, but unity goes much, much more further than actually the physical presence, right? So we're now talking about mind, and we're talking about thoughts, and we're talking about feelings, all coming together for one full purpose. We'll touch upon that today. But so we all need to get to that point. I said that because in this room, we have different ways of thinking. We have different people from different parts of the country and from the world. And it's kind of hard to bring everybody into one mindset, one spirit. But yet the Word of God is telling us exactly that. See, because what brings us together is not just the four walls that we have here in this building. Who's bringing us to who? Notice that I changed it. Who is bringing us together is Jesus Christ. And that is the tie that we all have in common. We might not all be from Mexico. We might not all be from here. There are people from Central America. There's people from all parts of the world that come here. But the one person that unites all of us or that covers all of us is Jesus Christ. And that's how we as Christians should learn how to live along. And what kind of happens is that we let our differences, whether they be cultural differences, financial differences, or simple ways of thinking, those differences kind of separate us. Right? And of course, the enemy just loves that. But God, the Spirit of God, wants us all to come together into one mind, one spirit, and we'll talk about that. But all be one mind, like-minded, right? So that we're all thinking and doing the same. Because when the Church of God decides to be united, when the Church of God decides to come together, it is a force to be reckoned. I mean, we can move forward and we can conquer and we can set our goals. But when we are not united, then we're just people just gathering together in this room, right? And that's not what we're here for. So today's message, it starts out by the unity of faith. What brings us together is our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, before I get started, I have a little anecdote, or a little, if I ever get this to go. I think it needs batteries. Oop, there it is. It was asleep. Okay. Tonto and the Lone Ranger were riding through the canyon together when all of a sudden, on both sides, it were filled with Native American warriors on horses, dressed for battle. Then the Lone Ranger turned to Tonto and asked him, "What are we going to do?" Tonto replied, "What you mean, we, white man?" Okay, if you all get it, it says, it's not, right now, Tonto didn't seem to sell very, you know, together with the Lone Ranger there on how to get it. But sure, this is not the best example of how to show a unified front, right? Right at the time of peril, right at the time of danger, is when you mostly are to come together, mostly should be together, coordinated so that we can conquer. But a lot of the times, that's how we live. A lot of the times, we come here together, but we're not really together. And especially when those problems come, it's like, it's not no more our problem, that's your problem. You know, it's like when the kids misbehave. You all of a sudden start talking to the wife, well, your kids have done this and they have done that. Oh, but when they're glorious and everything comes out great, they're our kids, right? Well, it doesn't work that way, right? They're our kids, whether in the good times and in the bad times. And that's what being united is all about. We're together in good and we're together in bad. So Hebrews 11 6 says that we cannot please God if we don't have faith. Therefore, as a church, a group, or as a group of believers, we must strive to have this unity in the faith. We must strive to come together for the purposes that God has for us here as a church. Because we come to this church, but you don't just come here, sit, and then leave. You are part of this church. You have now formed part of the brothership that comes here together in this church, and we are all here together to fulfill God's purpose. Now, when we think of the word unity, we think that it's all about good, because we always think unity means good. But that's not always the case. I mean, look at, see unity or the word unity kind of neutral. And whether it ends up being a good unity or a bad unity will depend a lot on the person. What do I mean? Well, in the Bible tells us in Matthew 12, 14, but the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Now, this is the Pharisees all coming together to plot out something bad. Okay, so this is what we would call bad unity. People coming together to do something wicked, to do something evil, to do something that's not good. They're coming together, but they're being united, but they're being united for a wrong result. Another example, you've all heard the news about, you know, New York and their whole abortion law. Well, people actually came together to vote on this law so that women can have an abortion in their trimester, you know, the third trimester. I mean, that is like, how can somebody even come together to actually begin to think that this would be lawful? And then all of a sudden, all of them united are passing this law, and it passed, and coming together to do that. Would that be good? Obviously not. So the fact that they got together and thought of things and put all of their efforts in bringing this is, it does not make that type of unity a good unity. It's a bad unity. The good unity, the flip side to all of that, for example, we find in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, where it talks about the Great Commission, where all the apostles came together, are now coming together to now reach out to the world, to go out to the world and evangelize the entire world. This is what we would call good unity. They're coming together to seek something good. They're coming together to meet a need. They're coming together so that they can fulfill the mission that God has inquired or required of them. Okay. Another example would be the church itself unifying its effort and then extending the love and compassion to the needy. That would be good unity as well. We're coming together to meet the need. You know, and God is all about the good unity, right? He is all about the coming together and restoring and the coming together and building up and the coming together and making us a front, a strong church. Now, he's done that even in our own bodies. Have you ever wondered when you get a cut, what happens? All of this, how the body, God created our body in such a way that it begins to heal itself. That when you get a cut, all of a sudden blood starts pouring out, right? We start bleeding. And then all of a sudden the body knows that some part of the body is hurt. We all need to go. So all of the defenses go over there. All of the little, the white blood cells go in there so that no infection can come in there. They start forming. They all start coming together around the wound. If you look at your cut, you'll begin to see this little red little area around it. Well, that's all the blood cells coming together, the white blood cells coming together, and the platelets, they all come together and they're all trying to close the wound. Then before you know, you get a scab that forms right on top of it. Well, the scab was there so that it keeps all the germs on the outside forming inside. But what's happening underneath the scab, the body is healing itself. It's creating new cells. If you were to remove the scab, once it's not healed, you'll begin bleeding again. But if you leave the scab on, what happens is that eventually it will come off. You know, you get the itch and then you start going like this. And oh, look, it healed. No more blood coming out. It's miraculous the way God has created our body, that whenever there's a part in our body that's hurting, all of a sudden, everybody, all the forces turn over there and they start healing that body. And isn't that the way we are here at church as well? When a brother or sister is hurting, what do? Do we leave them alone? No. We all of a sudden, everybody goes around them and starts surrounding that person and trying to heal. How? By prayer, by support, by demonstrating your love, by demonstrating your presence, being there. And that begins the healing process around that person. See, something as we would say insignificant as how our own body heals, the Lord takes that particular concept and also brings it over to the church. And he tells them that the way we are going to heal is by the church being united. That's why when somebody is hurt, what do? We call the church. We call the pastor. Pastor, we need prayer. Right? Because the prayer is that defense mechanism, if you will, that God has poured inside of us so that now we begin the whole healing process. And that's wonderful just to even think about how we need that coming together for that whole purpose of healing the body so that the body can what? So that we then can continue to do our mission that we have been called. See, if we cut ourselves and we don't heal, we won't get the full function back of what it was intended to do. But when the body heals itself, it's restored again, and it continues with how is the intended purpose. Same thing with our church. The church is the same way. God has intended the unity to come together, for all of us to come together, see the problem, heal it, and then continue on. And isn't God great? Isn't God wonderful to actually even begin? And we do this instinctively, right? We don't even think about it. We all of a sudden just do it. And it comes together, but it's God's intended purpose to bring that unity inside the church. Now, as Christians, we must not only be united, but we must also demonstrate those fruits of this unity. The unity of the faith is something that which saints are to come to or arrive at in connection with the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, we will not come into this unity of faith if Christ is not inside of us, if Christ is not our Savior, if we don't see Him as our believer. I mean, you can come to the church and Christ not being your Savior, but you're not really part of the church. You can say the lingo, you can sing the songs, but you're not part of this church, because the one who makes you part of this church is through Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The one who gives us the connection is the Holy Spirit. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Where Jews or Gentiles, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we are all given to one Spirit to drink. That is the unity that the Spirit is bringing upon us. That is the unity that we all share. He says, no more Jews or no more Gentiles. Meaning, there's no differences in culture. There's no differences in race. We're all one. There, in our case, there will be no, and love the color palette, right? Whites, black, yellows, oranges, and browns, and all those colors. We're all the same. Right? Because before the eyes of God, He doesn't see any Jews or any Gentiles. He doesn't see any race. He doesn't see slaves or those that are free. We're all the same in front of the eyes of our God. And yet we have to be that way as well. So faith it unites us as believers to live united lives for the benefit of this world. See, so there's an intended purpose of why the church needs to be united. There's an intended purpose of why we, as brothers in Christ, should be united. Right? It's not just me saying it out every single Sunday. It's not just me, as the pastor, bringing it out to all of you. Is there's a much higher purpose that God has intended His church to now begin to walk together. We are united by God's word to live God's word. Okay? God's word reveals to us and His great love for all of the sinners. Right? If we understand the concept of love, if we understand what God has done for us and how much love He has demonstrated for us, then we must also in turn love those that are out there, those that don't have God, those that need God. We must also love them. And some of them might be as close, you know, as in our homes. So we have to demonstrate that love, the same love that God has demonstrated to you. We also now have to turn right around and demonstrate that love for those that don't know. I mean, that is the intended purpose of the church. The intended purpose of the church is to come together and as a group of believers now begin to show what God has given us. We are now to turn right around and give that love back to the world. We are to show to the world that there is a God. We are to show to the world that there is a loving Savior who has given His life for us. We are to show the world that we can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that all of our sins can be redeemed, that our lives can be redeemed, that we need to show the world that there is a much better way of living, that there is a much better life than the life that they are living, because there is hope, and we find that through Jesus Christ. See, if we don't come together and unify our efforts, our strength, our will and desire in through God, through Jesus, to go out there to the world, how is the world going to ever know? Oh, Pastor, but that's what YouTube is all about. No. Well, thank the good Lord for YouTube and for all those that watch us out there in YouTube land. You know, God bless you all. Right? Because it does extend. It does go further. Friday, we were talking about, you know, the technology ministry and how far we reach out. And one of our brothers said, well, you know, I have my relatives in El Salvador who are watching YouTube right now. They'll watch the Spanish service. I said, well, my family in Mexico watches that. And, you know, we have our sister Mary. Hi, Sister Mary, who's always watching us, right? Who's always watching us. I hope you're keeping warm, right? I think we might have to. I'm going to start sweating pretty soon now. But thank God for all of that. But we must not only rely through technology, we must also open up those doors and take a step outside through our community, right? And we got to let them know who God is and what Jesus has done for us. And we can only go out there when we are united in that effort. I mean, it's not just Brother Saul who's in charge of evangelism going out there. Right? It's not just Sister Ana Dueñas who is in charge of the community outreach just to go out there, or Sister Lizette who helps her to just go out there. No. It's like all of us together need to go out there. All of us together need to go out there and provide, you know, this message of healing, this message of salvation to the needy. I know it's one of those questions that you're always asking yourself. Well, why do we need to be united? Well, you might. It's kind of twofold, right? The question in itself. For example, we need to be united to witness to the world. Okay? We are to be united to witness to the world. I mean, John 13, verses 34 and 35 tells us, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, and if you have love for one another. So that means that all the people will know that you are my disciples if you all love each other. Now, can you love each other and not be united? And that really isn't love, right? It's not love. The united, the coming together is part of love, right? It's the whole foundation is love. Because of love, we have been united. Because of love, we have been united at the cross, and yet we're all here. Love is what has us here. not an egocentrical desire of just, you know, Lord is blessing me so fully, I want the Lord to bless me all the time. No. We are here because Jesus gave his life for us. And through him, that's what binds us. That's what has us all here early in the morning, right? And so that is what we're all united. And this love that we are to demonstrate to each other, the result and end result of that is going to be unity. Okay, it's going to be unity. That is why we, the world, will know that, geez, those people, you know, stay in that room, in that church, like 3 or 4 hours, my goodness. And I hear no music, right? And there's no anger, and there's nobody's fighting and all that. What's the matter? Because that is what triggers. And that is how the world ends up knowing who we are, because of the love that we demonstrate towards each other, the unity that we have. Right? So it also in John 17:21, it tells us, I ask that they may all be one, Jesus speaking to the Father in one of his prayers, saying, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. See, unity has that purpose of demonstrating to the world that there is a God. Unity has the purpose to demonstrating to the world that Jesus is real, that forgiveness is real, that everything that we can preach about God or everything that we can say about God, that we're not just fabricating it, we're not just making it up, it's all real. And how does that happen? Because of this love that we express to one another. See, that's why we don't come to church and criticizing. We don't come to church to talk about somebody. We don't come to church to be those lone rangers out there, right? We come to church to be united, right? We are united here. Because if you say that you love God and you don't love your brother who you see, then you are a liar. How can you say you love God and not love your brothers who are sitting next to you, right? Yeah, Pastor, but you don't know what he did. Then the Bible tells us that we must forgive. Yeah, but it's so hard. Really? Really? Imagine if God did that for you. Man, you've sinned. Have you not sinned today? If you say no, you're just lying, and you just did. Right? I mean, literally, I keep telling, I say this so often that literally sometimes we just open up our eyes and there he goes. Lord, forgive me. Sometimes we don't even open up our eyes and we're, you know, doing that. So we have to find this love for our brothers and sisters so that we can all come together. The world may not listen, right? Or they may not even understand, but they can sure recognize the difference between selfish love and a godly love, right? They can look at Christians and see exactly, you know, whether, you know, oh, really, is that how Christians behave? Really? How would you know? You're not a child of God. How would you know how we're... Yeah, but Christians don't do that. See, they know, right? They know. So we need to demonstrate to a world that needs God, that God is there for them, that God loves them. And how are we going to do that? By firstly, it starts here. So the love is the one that breaks, you know, the barriers of race and age and social status, financial status, because all of these are done away with through God's love. God's love sees us all equal. So the first reason why we need to be united is to witness to the world. The second thing that we need to be divided, and really this is the ultimate aim of every Christian unity, is really to give glory to God. To give glory to God. Romans 15:5-7 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says, accept one another. Okay? If you were to underline anything, underline that part that says accept one another, then just as Jesus Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We have to accept each other. We have to. It doesn't matter, again, our differences. Differences can separate us, but at the same time, differences can bring us together as well. And that's what we have to learn. That we have to learn how to live in a community where there may be differences. People are different. But just because your point of view doesn't match my point of view, that's no reason to divide. That's no reason to set apart. That's no reason to, you stay on that side of the church, I'll stay on this side of the church, and as long as we don't meet, we're fine. That's not what being united is all about. God wants us to come closer, where there really isn't any, like I mentioned before, any Jews or any Gentiles, where there really isn't any slaves or any people that are free, male or female, because we are all now one in Christ. So when Jesus brings us together at the cross, we form how many bodies of Christ? One. There's only one body. So there's not many scattered around the church. It's one body, one church, one Alpha and Omega, united. We may have two different services, English and Spanish. But the language is not the barrier, because even English and Spanish, the one who unites us is Jesus Christ. His blood runs through all of our veins. So whether you speak English or whether you speak Spanish, we're all united. So when we speak of Alpha and Omega, sometimes I don't even like to put Iglesia Bautista or Baptist Church, because that kind of just leans me towards the Spanish side if I put Iglesia Bautista, or if I put Baptist Church, it leans me to the other. So I just put Alpha and Omega, because Alpha and Omega is for both sides. And that's who we are. We are Alpha and Omega, right? And in Spanish, Alpha y Omega. There we go. No difference there. So unity is therefore something that we should strive for. Okay? It is given by the Spirit, okay, to each believer to become one mind for the purpose of glorifying God. Okay? That is why we are here. We are here, brothers and sisters, for the purpose of gaining knowledge, coming together, going out there to glorify God. Because it's about God. So our underlying catalyst, what just gets us going, is to, in this unity, is faith. We will not be able to achieve unity if we don't have faith in the one who has united us. Okay? If we don't have faith in Jesus, then there is no unity. Okay? God's Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts that unites us. God's Spirit produces unity among believers by faith. This is our motivation to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, which we'll talk about later on. Unity of the Spirit, unity of faith. So unity of the faith means that we are having the same understanding of the essential truths. Okay, they're the same essential truths. In other words, our fundamental beliefs of our faith. Okay, what do we believe in? What is our belief? As Alpha and Omega, what do we believe in? It should be no different from any other Christian church out there. Okay? But we should all believe, and that's why when there's another Christian church out there, and we are over here, but if we have the same essential truths, the same essential beliefs, we're united. We're the same. Right? So it doesn't matter where you go. You can go to China, and if you find another Christian church that shares your same essential truths, you are united. That is what is uniting us. So what do I mean by essential truths? Just to name a few, because there's quite a bit of them. On our website, we says what we believe. In fact, we sang it this morning. What we believe, right? So it says, Philippians 2:2, it says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one of mind. There's a unity concept again. This does not mean that we as Christians, we cannot have different points of views, okay? Or maybe not have any differences. Doesn't mean that. Being like-minded doesn't mean exactly the same as the next person out there. We can have all these differences among us, but we just don't let them stray us away from our faith baseline. Okay? You may believe in one thing, you may believe in another, but if we both believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we're still united. Okay? Differences don't tear us apart. So what it means when it says like-minded and having one mind, it means that we don't differ from those essential truths. And essential truths, I'm talking about, just to name a few, we believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Three gods in one. Right? And for some of us, that might be a big concept to really understand or grab a hold of, but that is what it is. Trinity. You say, Pastor, but the word Trinity is not in the Bible. True, it's not in the Bible. But there are many instances where God refers to himself as in multiple and plural forms. Right? And then he begins to say, and there are many occasions and many examples where we begin to see God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son when Jesus was baptized, right? We see that why we believe in the Trinity. We believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, who came down to earth. He is 100% man. He is 100% God. Concept that we may not understand, but it is what it is. He came here to die on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. That is an essential truth. Somebody doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God, there is no unity there. No, it can't be there. We have two different concepts. We have to believe that the condition that man is depraved, man is lost because of the original sin. Okay, and we need, and that the only way we can be found, if we were lost, the only way we can be found is through Jesus. And Jesus will redeem us, and he will restore us. He will bring us back to the place where we will now spend eternity with God the Father. Okay? So these are just a few of the essential truths. If you have a despairing thought, if you have something different from what I just mentioned right now you may be here, but you are not here. Yeah? You may be in this room, but we are not united because we don't share those essential truths. So, as believers in the body of Christ, we have a different outlook and different approaches, but we all need each other, and the differences, believe it or not, we all need those differences between us to function well as a body of Christ. Okay? The differences, again, they don't bring us into conflict. The difference is, to me, is like, I thank God that my wife thinks a lot of times differently than I do, even though she's wrong, right? But, love you, honey, love you. I'm just kidding. I thank God that she thinks differently than I do, because you know what? I might be thinking one way, and then she brings it over, and she says, and you know what? You know, it gives me another perspective that I didn't think of. And you say, you know what? It's still wrong, but, you know, let's do it anyways, because I want to get to sleep early tonight. If I don't, I'll never get to sleep. All right, we'll try it your way, right? And it works out. Go figure. You know. But those differences actually have enriched our lives, right? It has brought us together, and it has made our lives even more so powerful and blessed because of these differences that we have, right? And there are a lot of times that the differences might be like this, right? But we have to work together in coming to an agreement. But can you believe, I mean, her being from El Salvador, me being from Mexico, I mean, I told you the first couple of years was like, what are you talking about, woman? You know, speak in Spanish, please. She says, I am. Oh, no, 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 you're not talking the right Spanish. I go, speak the Spanish I know. You know, there were a lot of conflicts because of what she said, how I said it, what she referred to it. What is that? I don't understand. But after 33 years of marriage, we are now living a happily and blissful life. We're now speaking the same language. Or we kind of made up our own language as we went along the way, right? One that we only understand each other, and that's it. But that's what being united is all about. Right? So an example between a husband and a wife, an example between that should be amongst us all here. God, in Jesus Christ, we all form one body. We've all come into one body. But that doesn't mean that we all have to think the same. It doesn't mean that we all have to like the same things, right? And can you imagine, I've said it before, can you imagine if she thought exactly as I did? I mean, how boring would that be? I mean, truthfully, it would be boring. It's like me having a conversation with myself. You know, what do you want to eat? Whatever you want to eat. What color do you like? Whatever color you like is my favorite color too. Where do you want to go? Anywhere you go, I want to go. So ultimately, I won't even ask her anything because whatever she likes, wherever I go, that's what she does. Right? But that's not so. We need that differences. We need that variance. We need those small little things just to make us, you know, alive, really, right? So in the body of Christ, we're exactly the same way. We all have, you all may have different ideas or opinions about something, But when we all share the same baseline of faith, when we all share the same ideals or the same essential truth, then we have no problem. You know, whether with some people, whether they lose their salvation, some people, whether they do lose their salvation, well, you know what? I go to sleep in peace. You who think that you may lose your salvation, it's like, oh my God, you know, I think I lost my salvation again. I have to repent. Well, you know, that doesn't bring peace. To know that every single day or at any point in time, you can lose your salvation, and how are you gaining it back? And then, have you ever thought about how much do you have to do in order to gain it back? I mean, is that really enough to gain it back? So, I mean, you lose the whole assurance part of it, that God said, you know, nothing can take you out of my hands. He says, nothing will take you out of my palm. So, I mean, that's one way. Do we still believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and God? Yes? Okay. We're okay. You know, you may have a lot of bags under your eyes. I will rest at peace. Amen to that. So there can be differences between us, but that doesn't mean we have to go at war with each other, okay? We just need to understand, okay, brother thinks that way, I think this way, but we both love Jesus. You know, we both are here to do his will, and that's what gets us through it. So God has provided his church also servants that he has prepared to prepare the church so the church can grow and mature and edify itself for each other. Right? And we find those servants in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And he says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So God has placed in his organization, in his structure of the church, he has placed certain specific, we call them offices, in the church that certain people can come in and fulfill. Obviously, we don't have any more apostles because remember, this message was out in the first century in the churches. Back then, the apostles were in full force. Okay, they had prophets back then because they didn't have the full revelation of the Word of God. They didn't have the entire Bible. They only had the Old Testament. So they needed the prophets to let them know of things that were yet to come, of what God was asking of them. But now that we have the full, complete revelation of the Word of God, there's no need for any more prophets. Because if you hear a prophet out there, I have a word of God, and I'm the prophet so-and-so-and-so. Blasphemy, liars, right? Don't even believe that. So there are no more apostles, there are no more prophets. Apostles were only designated by Christ, right? He's the one who called the apostles to being. I haven't seen Christ lately around here naming more apostles around the earth like that, right? So we are disciples. So we, evangelists, do we need evangelists? Yes, we still need evangelists, so they're in still force. They're still in force out there preaching the Word of God. Do we need pastors? Please say yes. Yes? Yeah. We still need pastors to come out here and explain the Word. Evangelists go out there to the world. Pastors have a local ministry. We're here focused, building up this church, right? And teaching, right? And teachers. And teaching them how to explain more about the Word of God. So God has placed these offices in his church to equip the church to grow, to mature, to become strong, to edify itself. And then that way, in a united front, we go out there and then we do the work of an evangelist, right? We go out there and preach the Word of God. If we don't do our part here as the servants that God has called us to do, how will the church be able to do that, right? So that is what we are called here to do. So the church is edified by the unity of faith. A little bit of where the church matures when faith is united. And then God uses his church leaders to build up and strengthen his church to complete the mission. Alpha and Omega has a mission to fulfill here on earth. And it's not until the Lord picks us up and raptures us to go to heaven, that mission will not be complete. So I as a pastor, have to do my part and equip the church, you all, so that we all together can fulfill the mission that he has called us to do. I have a little illustration. I know I have a few more minutes, but I'm almost at the end. Illustration. Joe Torre is one of the greatest and most successful baseball managers in the history of Major League Baseball. He coached the New York Yankees for 12 years from 1995 to 2007. During his time as the skipper of the pinstripe team, his Yankees played in 6 World Series, winning 4. What made Joe a great manager was more than how he substituted his pitchers or had his players steal bases or hit home runs. Joe Torre supported his players and verbally built them up in private and in public. This created an atmosphere of trust and confidence between the players, the manager, the front office, the fans, and the media. Torre was notorious for building up his players. So it is to be with us here in the church. Church leaders are to use their God-given gifts to build up the church. We, as those 5 offices, one being the pastor, I'm not here to tear down, right? The Lord didn't call me to tear down his church. The Lord didn't call me to tear you down. The Lord called me to build you up. The Lord called me to encourage you. The Lord called me to build you up, to edify you through knowledge, through understanding, through how we are supposed to all work. The leaders that we have here in the church are to fulfill the same mission. They are not to tear down. They are not to, you know, step on. They are to build up the church, to strengthen the church, so that pretty much like this example that we have here, we can all work together and we can all become the winning church, the winning team, right? So that's a little bit of how we are all to encourage each other. Now, the bottom line of unity is love. That's the bottom line. And in Ephesians 4:15, it says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds up in love as each part does its work. Right? When we do our part as leaders of this church and we edify and build up the church, each one of you does your part, we become a strong church. You all are the ligaments. You all, and when you are built up, you are strong, you are united, you keep the church together. We all keep the church together. So love is the glue that holds all of this together. You are here because of love for me. You are here because of the love for God. Amen? That's why we are here. That's why we sacrifice ourselves. That's why we come here real cold weather. We would just rather stay at home and sleep and all that. We sacrifice because we love God, right? And we want to know more of God. So love connects us to God and also to each other. If the love of God is not demonstrated in the congregation, then there will be no desire to grow in unity. Okay? There simply will not be a desire to grow together and become strong if love is not manifested here in the church, or if love is not manifested in your heart. Right? So this is what unity of faith is all about. That we all come together under one understanding, through the knowledge of Christ. We all have that faith. We're all united in that faith. We come through that because the Holy Spirit has placed that inside of us. And because we love one another, we want to be united. We won't let those differences pull us apart. In fact, we can even gather those differences to really appreciate the brother or sister that we have beside us and really begin to value them as a person. So I close with this. It is important that we all strive for this unity of faith. We need the love of God to overflow in our hearts so that we can meet each other's needs. So we can set all of our differences aside, because all they will do is divide instead of unify. We need to put them off to the side. We need God's love to be our driving force so that God's will can be done in us and through us to a lost world. When we understand the concept of why we are here together and who has brought us here together and the purpose of why we are here together, we will form that unified front. We will form that unified church. We will have our unity in faith, and we will be able to go out to the world and demonstrate to them, you know, that there is a God. And you say, but how do you know? He says, look at us. Okay, I am a living example that there is a God who loves and who forgives. And I am here to prove it, and I'm here to do that. We need to understand that love, the love that Jesus has for us, his sacrifice and also his forgiveness. Only doing this will we be able really to achieve that true unity of faith. So keep that in mind as we traverse, as we continue, as we move on in our faith walk, in that this is not just Alpha and Omega, it's not just a building where I go and just have coffee and beans, you know, every day or every Sunday, but it's a place where my brothers and sisters, where we share the same faith, where we share the same love, where we have that common interest of growing in Christ and knowing more about him so that we can also prepare ourselves and tell the world out there that there is a Jesus, that there is a God who loves them, that there is forgiveness for their sins. Okay? That is what we are here for. And that is the mission of Alpha and Omega. Amen? Let us bow our heads in prayer at 11 o'clock on the dot. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for that unifying faith, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, because he is the one that brings us to that true acknowledgement, Lord, of what we need to do and why we are doing this. We're not just people that just come together, Lord. We are people, Lord, that have been redeemed by the blood of your Son, Jesus. We are people that have come together at the foot of the cross, and we believe in our Lord. We believe in Jesus, Lord, and we ask and we believe in you. And we believe, Father, that with your strength in us, with your will moving inside of us, Lord, we will become that church, Lord, that you have called us to be. Allow us to, Alpha and Omega, Lord, to be the church, O Lord, that shines in the midst of the darkness, Lord, that is here in this community, not just as another building, but to be a source of life, of spiritual life, Lord, to those that are spiritually dead. We thank you, Father, for this message. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us through this message. And may we not only be hearers of this word, but we may also put that word into practice, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.